Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you very much this morning for another privilege to be in your house. We want to thank you, O God, for the week that ended yesterday. Thank you for your protection and your blessings in all the services and our endeavors, workers, business people, students. Thank you for your mercy upon us. We, by your grace, have seen another month and another week. We look up unto you that you send again your blessings unto us today as we assemble in your presence with expectations. Thank you, eternal Father. May your word today do our souls good. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 2, we read verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which had the sharp sword with two edges. May the Lord add this blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you, can please be seated. Well, this morning we are facing a portion that is like It was an insertion to this chapter and to this seven church age book. And the prophet called it a word to the bride, which is normally referred to as pick up your pen and write. That the Lord will give us understanding as we go through it. One night, as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. And as I grasped the pen to write, His Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the word and the bride. Amen. Here is what I am trying to say to you. Now this is God speaking here now, dictating to the prophet. The law of reproduction is that each species brings forth after its own kind, even according to Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. That is God's word in the beginning. To every seed, all the trees, the fruit trees, the grass, everything that grew up out of the earth, they were put inside by God's spoken word in seed form. The seed were planted by the Almighty God under this earth. And when he removed the waters to move one side so that the dry land will appear, and the seed were underneath the earth, then his word said they should come up and bring forth the fruit after their kind. And you can be deceived when any plant start growing. Let me take for instance a pawpaw. You know, there is what we know as male pawpaw. How many is aware of that? Akọ ibepe. It is that growing as pawpaw. The leaf is the same. The plant is the same. Everything is the same, but don't rejoice yet. Because you may still be the very one that will use your hand to cut it off. Because the reason you are rejoicing is that you are glad that now you want to have couple maybe in your compound that you just be plucking from there. That thing can continue for several months. And you'll be weeding anything that want to, if any creeper is trying to twist on you, cut them off. Come on, let me enjoy this purple. But finally, when it gets to the time that you are now expected to, you just see bringing flower, bringing flower. This is not supposed to be a flower garden. This is supposed to be a fruit garden where you can harvest fruit and it begin to give you flower. Is it because of flower you have been doing all this weeding? So you get to a time you'll be convinced that this is a male pawpaw. What do you do? You carry your cutlass and chop it off. The same thing is orange trees. There are some oranges, and you know that even take years. You will plant them, you will do weeding, apply mulch, put fertilizer, it will be growing. You will labor left and right to make sure that it grows very fine. Some of them will have grown for about 3, 4, 5 years. Finally, at the time it's supposed to start bringing fruit, you just see the thing with big leaves everywhere, it'll just be full of leaves. Full of leaves. The time of oranges will come and pass, you won't see anything. Tangelo, nothing. This one, nothing. This one, nothing. This one, nothing. When you watch it like that for about 2, 3 years, what do you do? You carry your cutlass and chop it off. Also, in other plant life, there are some that is wheat and there are some that is tears. But they resemble. When they are growing, you can't tell the difference yet until when it gets to the time of fruit. Then you will know the kind of fruit is bringing forth. So, this is a very thick part of the Seven Church Age book. This same portion is also reproduced in the message, the spoken word is the original seed. So, but it's placed here because this book is the summary of the entire message. That's why Abraham put it here. You know, the spoken word is the original seed, was preached years before this book was produced. I think we know that. That was 1962 or so, Samuel. Though the Seventh Church Age book was preached initially December of 1960, nevertheless, it took years before it was typed out, before Abraham started proofreading, he gave it to somebody to grammarize, and as they were grammarizing, he began to insert things and to correct things and things like that. So by the time it came out in December 1965. So this is the summary of the entire message. And whatsoever the prophet corrects here stands corrected. Amen. So let's go. Right. Whatever life was in the seed came forth into a plant and thence into fruit. The very same law applies to the church today. After the prophet has given the physical analogy, taking the roots from, of course, this is not the physical, I mean the prophet directly now. This is the spirit putting this in the hand of the prophet to write. Just as the Bible was written. Because the Bible said, only men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Abraham is saying here that the spirit also gave him this message to the church. And it has to do with the word and the bride. Amen. Right. The very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed because it is the same seed. That is why the prophet said that if anyone wants to start a church, he said it should start with the word of God. If any church is started with the seed of
maybe I don't know. Rebellion. I don't want to be under somebody, this and that. That church can never grow up to become church of God. Because the seed that started it is wrong. The only way that a church can start, it has to be by God's leadership. And God's leadership is free of bitterness, is free of fighting, is free of rebellion, is free of all kinds of things. There are conditions in this Bible how a church can start. If that condition is not met, it could be a business center or a religious gathering. The seed that starts the church will grow and bring forth the same fruit. Amen. Whatever seed started the church will come forth and be like the original seed. It will come forth and be like the very seed that was used to plant the church. The church of God is not politics. It's not that I go and meet a brother Cornelius. Let us go and start our own. What is our own? Well, I remember that if you look at it, the way God is talking with me,
he said that two of us will work together. All those ones are rubbish.
All right. In these last days, the true bright church, which is Christ's seed now, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church. A super race as she nears him. That is the true bright church, which is the seed of Christ. And the seed of Christ is the word of God. The church of God that is started by God's word will grow up, and finally, because it is the word that was in the seed, It is the word that will bring the fruit up, and it is the word that will be harvested. Remember that Christ is coming only for the word bride. He's not even coming for a local assembly. He's coming for the word bride. Amen. Now, they in the bride will be so much like him. That they will even be in his very image. Now, the explanation of the prophet, one of the explanations, let me put it like that, of this pyramid picture, is that Christ is the headstone. You can see it on top. That headstone, that one that the Holy Spirit was written between it and Laodicea Church, that is Christ. And if that was placed upon the bottom of this faith, you find out that it will not rise. But as the thing was going, you will see, Brother Abraham, in one way, he explained that the bride gets thinner in every age. Okay, let me use fishing to explain. When you are harvesting fish, And the fool is still full of fish initially. This is also quoting the message. When you throw the net, you will pull plenty fish. Because no harvesting has been done yet. The place is still full of fish. Are you with me? When you gather that one, that is not the same quantity we'll be getting every time. When you throw the net the next time, the net will be lighter. Because now the fishes have reduced. And it's scattering. It will get to a point that when you throw the net, you can only get five fish. Why? It's because you have pulled out most of the fish. And Brother Abraham said, he said, in this age, we are only saying it. He said, we are only saying it. That means that the water is almost empty of fish. That we are only looking for in case we see one here and see one there. He's talking of Laodicea Church age. Forget about the population. Forget about how many churches we have. Forget about how many preachers. The prophet of the hour said, we are saying it. We are looking for just, I don't know, the in Yoruba, we call it, maybe, I don't know how to, Esa. Just trying to see if we can get one here, and then one here. It doesn't matter, we can go to LALA, Sango, UI, Monkola, Iworo, Challenge, to go and preach. You may preach each night. You may preach in each place for 13 days. You may not get one person. One of the reasons is that the prophet told us that all the wombs are already sewed up. They are filled. They are pregnant. And when a woman is pregnant and the womb is closed, there is no other seed that can enter inside again. It is only that which is inside that will be germinated. Before she can have another pregnancy, one or two things has to happen. Either there is an abortion to this one that is inside, or the thing go to maturity and she delivers. Then after some time, another pregnancy can take place. Are you following me? When you tell people today about the Bible, what everybody is anxious is that you want to jack them from their church and bring them to your own church. So people are so church conscious that they are not so much, they will not even allow you to even learn, to be able to be patient, to hear what you even have to say. Some have been warned not to listen to anybody apart from the person that is from their church. Now, did church create this world? Did church give back to anybody? No. The Almighty God brought us here. We all grow up to know that this is His word. And it is His word that we have to look at and see what is there. And then carry it out. Amen. We are talking about what the Spirit gave to the prophet to give to the church at this time. Amen. Alright. He said, then the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. The Bible said that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. Can a drunkard be like him? Is Jesus a drunkard? Can an adulterer be like him? Is Jesus an adulterer? Can a thief be like him? Is Jesus a thief? Very simple. When we shall see him, he said, we shall be like him. Some people believe that when we get to heaven, then that is when things will be removed. Nothing. It is written in the scriptures that is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And once a man, that is why we don't pray like Muslims pray or the way Catholic does. The Catholic, when somebody dies in Catholic, they carry the person and then go and pray for the person out of purgatory to pray that the person will cross from hell to heaven. And money is to be paid to the bishop for this assignment. The bishop himself is a sinner. The bishop himself is a sinner. Has he been to heaven before? Has he been to hell before? Where is he written that somebody can they misconstrue scriptures? The Muslim is the same thing they are doing. In fact, the closest to Catholic Church is the Muslims. Both of them use beads in their prayer. Both of them believe that when you die, then that is when your sins will be forgiven. Of course, Catholic Church, they have one day in a week where they go and meet the Reverend Father to confess their sins. Now, the sins will come in from that minute on till the next week. You still carry him to go and ask him to. Now, the Muslims believe that their owner, once in a year, a month is dedicated to confess the sins of 11 months. Assuming that this is correct. Assuming that God accepts this one. What happened to the people that died within the 11 months? Don't you know that those ones have perished? I'm saying assuming. The system is wrong. It's not scriptural. But I'm just saying assuming. That is, can somebody sit down and reason? Then this one that wait for 1 week to go and meet the Reverend Father, when Brother Paul, according to the scripture, say, I die daily. Reverend Father himself smokes. Who does he confess his own? And we ask somebody to go and say amen 100 times. Ask somebody to run around the building 50 times. Ask somebody to do all kinds of things. What does he himself do? May God have mercy. All right. We'll take it cool, gradually. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. That is Christ and the bride. They are going to be one together. The bride of Christ. They will be one. And except somebody know who the groom is, then you cannot know who the bride will be. Because the groom has to be the word of God. The groom is not taught. The groom is Christ. And Christ is the word. Can you see Christ physically now? But this is his word with us here. So it is the word of God that matters. Amen. Alright. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. That is the bride. The bride will be the very manifestation or the expression or the reflection of the word of the living God. That is, when we see a member of the bride, it will be expressing what is in the word of God. When we see a member of the bride, that is a woman, then you take that woman and place the woman in the scripture. Then you'll be able to see whether this one, it is a word bride or not. Whether she's a Christian or not. Whether she's a bride of Christ or not. In her appearance, in her conduct, as a wife, all that the Bible has spoken about a woman, that woman will manifest it. When you see a man, you take the man in the scriptures. Okay, I just talk about women. Anyway, we are coming for the main service. This is Sunday school. When you take a woman, you take a man, you find out that the man, both in appearance, both in action, both in reaction, both in speeches, both in everything, is just what the Bible says should be. That is a man that is reflecting the groom. That is a man that is a bride of Jesus Christ. That is how he is reflecting or manifesting the groom that people will see. That is why the Bible said that ye are written epistles that could be read of all men. For a man to have his ear due for plating. You know that that is not the word of God. Is it not? Because the word of God says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Simple. What God's word call a shame, there is nobody that will call himself a Christian. You see, even pastors in denomination with their big ears. And that's their own style. It is an unscriptural style. And because the audience, the congregation is blind, they cannot see. They should have written a note to the pastor and say, pastor or bishop or reverend, whatsoever he call himself, how about this your ear? And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13 to how do you see it? Then if you begin to explain God this way, and he's not ready to face the responsibility of God's word, then the onus lay on that person to carry his bag and leave the place. After all, nobody use chain. Like all of you is here. Do anybody use chain to?
Nobody child.
When you are, when you reach a point and say that this one is not good for my soul, then you leave.
Amen.
You come to the woman's side, you see women cut off their ear, which the Bible says it is given to them as their glory. Not only that, he says it is given to them as their covering. But our denominational churches have taught the people a carryover creed from Catholic Church that they should use either hat or headgear, which we call gele, or scarf to cover their hair. But the Bible never says you should cover your hair. The Bible says you should cover your head. Just a little misinterpretation of that word has changed the meaning completely. They say cover your head. But the Bible never says you should cover your head. He says you should cover your head. And he said that the ear of the woman is given to her as a covering. Is it the Bible that Pope, if he has not thrown away this Bible, because I know that they have their own, full of all kinds of things, but any of Catholic Church members, at least have an encounter with one day, a lady who in an office wants to pray, and then she wants to, I say, what do you want to do? Say, I must cover my head now because you want to pray. I say, who tell you to cover you? He say, it's in the Bible now. Are you sure it's in the Bible? Okay, can I use your own Bible so that I don't use my own Bible? Can I use your Bible? She gave me a Bible. Then I ask her, how did the Bible say you should cover your head? He said, with something now, and she was reaching out for paper to. You see, God is not the author of confusion. Sometimes, as many women used to do a call, whatsoever you call, they will look for dirty paper to wrap on their head when they say, let us pray. Because the matter is urgent. They must quickly pull something. They will not even see whether the paper is dirty or not. Whether somebody has used it to clean the ash and throw it away. You put on the head. Then I opened the Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, and then we are reading together. When we read that passage, he said that I've never had this in my life. I said, but from which Bible am I reading? He said, from my own. And that is how I can read so many things to you from this your own Bible that will send you to torment if you do, if you are not careful. May the Lord be gracious to us. Don't worry, this is just foundation laying. When we come for the main service, we'll go at it as the time will permit us. And okay. All right. God bless you. Denominations cannot produce this because they are wrong seed. Denominations cannot produce the bride of Christ. They cannot manifest Christ. Because they have rejected Christ unknowingly. They have rejected Christ, which is the headship of the church, which is the word of God. The word of God is to have preeminence according to Colossians chapter 1. Maybe let's read that before the superintendent rings the bell. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 15, we might still make reference to it when we come back, but for now, I want us to read. All right. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is he referring to? Who is he referring to? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. May I ask a question here? I didn't go too much to school, but there are small, small grammar that I can understand. When you have taken all things out of something, how many does he remain? All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let's stop there. These few verses alone, it is enough to give understanding to somebody who wants to understand or who is ordained to understand. It disproves Trinity, it shatters it to pieces, because Christ is the one that created all things, as we have all read together. How many things did God the Father create? If there is such. May God be merciful unto us. Because of confusion that we inherited from Catholic Church, they split God to three. But they cannot simply look at the scripture that there is no contradiction in the scriptures. It is use of language, of course, it is written that they have to cover the eyes of people who are not meant to be saved. But in the real sense of it, I was talking recently, last Sunday afternoon, somewhere I said, every religious denomination knows this one. The person they refer to as God the Father is the pillar of fire in the Old Testament. Is that correct? And that pillar of fire was the one that led the children of Israel from Egypt to Palestine. Then the question is that, what is the name of the pillar of fire? Very simple. And the Bible has the answer. Because this pillar of fire, since it disappeared from them in the Old Testament, nobody saw him again until New Testament in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 8, when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, this same pillar of fire met him and came as a lightning from heaven that was shining above the brightness of the sun. The strength of it was more than the sun. This weaker sun, people look at it in India and the rest of it and they turn blind. But this light we are talking about was more powerful than this shining of the sun. And Saul, as a sinner, he looked at it, he turned him blind. And the voice spoke up, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Then the voice, then Saul answered, "Lord, who are you that I'm persecuting?" Did he say, "I'm God the Father"? He said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And it is hard for you to kick against the pricks." So the pillar of fire in the Old Testament is Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He said, "I came from God and I returned back to God." He came from the pillar of fire, he returned back to the pillar of fire. It is God operating in the Old Testament in the fatherhood, in sonship in the form of Jesus Christ, sonship, and then after he has left, is operating among the churches in form of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I am with you now, but I will come and be in you and to the end of the world." That is the dispensation of the gospel. When that key is taken away from people, they are blind. Denominations cannot, because they are million minds from this thing we are talking about. They don't have an idea of it, yet it's in their Bible. So they cannot produce it because they are wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word. When you go to any church this morning, they will read the Bible, but they will put their interpretation to it. You come out from the church, you go to the next church, you also see that some of them read the same book, read the same Bible, and give another interpretation. Why? There is a man somewhere in the headquarters that is telling them this is what you have to do. Now, it wouldn't have been bad for somebody talking from the headquarters if it is the Holy Spirit that has spoken to the man. But as long as it's not the Holy Spirit, it is the idea of that man. And the idea of any man can never help the bride of Christ. What we are here for is the idea of God. Because he must have preeminence in his church. Because he is the head of the body. Amen. That is why we are here. And that is why we don't spare. Even the preacher cannot even spare himself. Is the word caught him? He caught him. He caught his wife, he caught. He caught the children, he caught. He caught fellow preacher, he caught. He caught officer, he caught. Everywhere he's going, he's caught. He so caught everybody to the shape of this world because God is no respecter of any man. Let us bow our heads. Gracious eternal Father, we thank you for these few words for this Sunday school. As we look up unto you for more blessings in the main service, we pray you be gracious unto us, have the preeminence in our life, give us understanding, and give us revelation. Lord, if there be anyone among us that has his own ideas, we ask that your spirit will deliver us from such. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.